This last week, we spoke of choices last Sunday evening. I want to talk a little bit about one of those choices that we have as we look at some things this morning. The text that was read for us by Brother Bill from the psalmist reminds us that there are two ways. It contrasts the two ways, the way of righteousness and the way of the wicked. And we want to consider those two ways and some things about them, and more importantly, maybe ask some questions that would cause us to consider which one of those ways we are continuing to travel. Now, certainly, each one of us gathered this morning, at least for the most part, all of us have obeyed the gospel and are children of God, and we're here because we want to serve God and follow Him. But we need to look at the actions in our life. We need to look at the details of how we conduct ourselves each and every day and make certain that we are walking that pathway of righteousness rather than the pathway of wicked, because that's the two methods of guiding our life that are available to us. Those two methods equate to our either putting our trust in man or self, or putting our trust in God. And while, as I mentioned, we made a choice many years ago, most of us, to choose, we chose God, we need to understand that that is a choice we make each and every day of our lives as well. Because we must continue to put our trust in one or the other. And when we talk about putting our trust in man, we're talking about dealing with opinion or thoughts of men. And the Scripture tells us that when we put our trust in the opinion and thoughts of man, it is a way that will lead us to death, to destruction. In fact, it will ultimately lead us to eternal destruction, away from the presence of God. Solomon in the Proverbs writes, "There's a way which seems right to a man, but his end is the way of death." And while we might look at some of the opinions and ideas that mankind has today, or even the thoughts that we ourselves might have in order to guide ourselves through this life, what I think is right, it's a way that will lead to destruction if it's based upon me. Throughout the history of the Israelites, especially in the writings of the judges and the closing of Joshua and the kings and things of that nature, we find statements such as, "Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." These are destructive means of guiding. Jesus rebuked the Jews of his day in Matthew chapter 15 by saying, "They honored him with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." Now, most of us would look and say, "Well, I'm not following the teachings of men. I'm following the teachings of God in my life. I'm using God to guide me through the pathway of this world so that I can enter into heaven when this life is over." But when we look at some of the things that we do, our daily practices, the attitudes that we have toward activities and such things, are we really following the teachings of God? Or are we following the thoughts and precepts of men? Even in our worship services we have engaged in this morning, are we engaging in those activities because and in accordance with the direction God has given? Or is it because that's the way it's always been done? In some ways it's kind of popular for, especially nowadays, for folks to question the things we do in our worship services. We sing songs that are of a particular caliber, out of a particular kind of songbook, and we're picky about what songbook we might use to sing our songs from. Because there are many books of songs out there that contain a lot of songs that are not pleasing in the sight of God. They're not spiritual songs, or they're not uplifting songs, or they actually teach things that are against the will of God. But even though we have this psalm book that we use and it has songs that we enjoy singing, are we singing them in the right and proper manner? We've looked at that in previous lessons, but it's something we constantly need to be conscious of and aware of. Do the songs that we sing, are we singing them to teach and admonish and help one another to grow and to praise and honor God? Or do we sing them because I just love the way the new song sounds? I like to listen to a good group of Christians sing "There's a Home" or "A Beautiful Life" or "I Love to Tell the Story." We need to look at the content and our attitude toward the songs that we sing. When we pray to God, are we praying according to the Scriptures and the teachings that are found within the pages of God's inspired Word? Or are we praying for things in regards to our own desires and our own hopes? Are we, when we pray for the leaders of our country, are we truly praying that we hope that they will be guided by the principles of God? Or do we really pray hoping that God will help them to do the things we want them to do? Maybe we have been affected a little more over the last few years by some of the things that our government has put into place and some of the rules and regulations, but are we upset because they are against God's rules or because they don't fit what we want? All of these things fall into this attitude of how am I directing my life? What is guiding? What's my guiding principle? We get up and determine what we're going to do each and every morning. Are we determining that based upon what God would have me do? Or based upon what I think is best for me? Yes, we have to get up and go to work in order to pay our bills and support our family and provide food. But are we doing that for ourselves? Are we doing that as service to God? The instruction given through Scripture is not just that we go and do our jobs, but that we present ourselves and work for our employer as if we are working for God. Those who are retired or have stopped working in the general sense of a continual job. I know those that are retired are still working. Some of you probably work more now than you did before you retired to some degree. But how are you spending your time? Did you take that retirement literally and say, okay, I've spent all my time working all my life and now it's time for me to just sit back and enjoy the rest of what I've got here upon this earth? Or are you using the guiding principle such as we studied in the book of Hebrews just this morning that instructs us to continue to apply ourselves to the Word of God, continue to increase our knowledge and understanding, and then to take that knowledge and use it to teach others? If we take our daily life and apply it simply to those things that we want to do, are we following the pathway that God has laid out? Or are we walking down the path of opinion and the thoughts of mankind? The prophet Isaiah said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God has loftier thoughts for us than we have. When we look at our attitude and what we hope for, we find things like, I hope I get something good for lunch today. I hope I can put enough money by that I can pay off this, or I can buy this, or I can afford that, or I hope my children grow up to be healthy and happy and that they'll be a benefit to me as they grow older. And as I grow older, they'll be able to help me. God, His thoughts are more along the lines of, don't worry so much about the little things of this world, worry about studying and learning and applying the Word of God. Don't think about gathering up things to provide for you here in this on this earth, but think about laying up treasures in heaven. Don't take the blessings that God has given you to provide for your family and to take care of you as you grow older and hold on to them just in case something happens, but take them and spend them and use them in serving God, whether that be in helping those who are less fortunate or in the spreading of the gospel. or in devoting ourselves completely and solely over to talking to others about the Word of God. God's thoughts are loftier than ours. God's thoughts, God wants us to have His thoughts. When Paul told the Colossian brethren that they need to think on the things above, he was instructing them to start thinking like God thinks. Thinking about eternity, not tomorrow. We need to be careful lest we devote ourselves to the opinions and thoughts of men or even of self. The Apostle Paul warned of this. He spoke to the Corinthian brethren in regards to himself and Apollos in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. These things, brethren, I figured he applied to myself and Apollos for your sakes, so that in us you may learn not to exceed what is written, but so that no one of you will become arrogant in behalf of one against the other. This is a part of his discussion with the Corinthian brethren about their following after individual men. He says, don't follow men, follow God. We read elsewhere, be imitators of me as I imitate Christ. It was a little plainer when he spoke to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will for themselves and will turn away from their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. Sometimes when I read that passage, I wonder if Paul was thinking back to the Corinthian brethren and how they had followed the man that had the plan that most closely matched what they wanted to do. That they had given their focus over to what one particular person was teaching and ignored the teachings of the other, even though all were teaching from Christ. And what Paul wanted them to do, and what Paul was instructing Timothy to do, is to preach the Word of God. Be guided by the principles of Scripture. Do only those things that are shown forth in Scripture. When we follow the opinions and thoughts of men, we will find ourselves following after those things that are forbidden by God. Or maybe we wouldn't necessarily do those things forbidden by God, but those things that God didn't expressly say, don't do. Sometimes our opinions and attitudes will direct us, well, God didn't say don't, so it must be okay. It'll be all right for me to do that. No, we need to make sure that we are following exactly what God has revealed to us. Scripture is very explicit in telling us that we are, as John said in 2 John 9, not to go beyond the teachings of Christ. But we are to dwell within the teachings of Christ. When we talk about this direction that we are, this path that we take being either the path of the wicked or the path of the righteous, we need to take the path of the righteous, which is based not on the opinion of men, not on the changing things of man's ideas, but upon the specific writings that God has revealed to us. Now, there's a lot of people in this world that talk about taking things on faith or following faith, but they don't understand what faith really is. Paul told the Roman brethren that faith was determined by hearing the Word. Faith, the Hebrew writer tells us, has to do with not just whatever we might believe, but with believing that God is and that He's a rewarder of those that seek after Him. Faith is not just some nebulous idea out there, but it's putting complete and total trust in God as He's revealed Himself in His Word. It's going back to the Bible for each and everything that we're instructed to do. That may mean that we don't necessarily understand why this is the best course of action. There's a lot of people, when we talk to them about the necessity of baptism, that'll say, how does that get rid of my sins? What's baptism have to do? What's getting wet got to do with coming into a right relationship with God? God commanded it. That's what it has to do with. Now, we can also go into the illustrations that Scripture give us. Apostle Paul speaks to the Roman brethren and the Colossian brethren both about how it is an image of the burial of our Savior, His death, burial, and resurrection. and how when we are baptized, we are buried with Christ and our sins are taken away and we are raised with Christ. But ultimately, what it has to do with salvation is just God said. That's what faith is all about. That's what walking by faith and not by sight is all about. It doesn't mean that we understand everything and know how all the pieces click together and fit, and so we've got a complete picture of the puzzle. But we know what the end result is, even though all the pieces may not be there yet. We go to the Word of God, and He gives us the instruction that we need to conduct ourselves, and we keep the whole law. Everything God has described for us to do, we submit ourselves wholly to it. And we're very careful to make sure that we don't stumble at any point, because James tells us if we stumble in one point, we're guilty of all. James chapter 2 and verse 10. We direct ourselves by the Bible only. We follow the instruction that the Israelites were given. I know we're not subject to the old law, but the principle stands the same. You shall not add to the word which I am commanding you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Exactly what God has said, that is what we will do. No more and no less. Every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Do not add to His words, or He will reprove you, and you will be proved a liar. Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6. Give yourselves wholly over to the will of God, and only the will of God. That's walking by faith, rather than the opinions and thoughts and ideas of mankind. The New Testament instructs us in these things as well. Some of the final verses in the pages of our New Testament Bibles. Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book. Or as the Apostle Paul rendered it when he wrote to the Galatian brethren in Galatians chapter 1, if anyone speaks other than what you have already heard, let him be accursed. If anyone presents to you a gospel that is different than the gospel we have already preached to you, let him be accursed. Why? Because, as Paul says in verse 10, for am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still striving to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. We know the passages where Jesus said you cannot serve God and mammon. He tells us that we have to choose to serve Him rather than to serve the world. We can't do both. If we're following after our own ideas, if we're doing things because that's what I think is the best thing to do, we're not walking by faith. We're walking by opinion. And folks, opinion will lead us down a path to destruction. Even if our opinion might happen to be in line with what has been revealed, if we're following it because it's what we think we ought to do, rather than what God has told us to do, it can lead us down the path to destruction. Because what I think today may be in perfect alignment with the will of God. But if circumstances in my life change such that I think something different tomorrow, and I'm following what I think, I've stepped away from God's will. And it doesn't take much looking back at history, even of those that we might have looked up to in the past, to recognize that this happens. I can't recall names now, but I know of several brethren who were prominent preachers among the faith who stood firm on God's principles regarding marriage until some daughter or niece or nephew or son turned away from God's plan for marriage. And then they started finding ways to justify the situation that their children were in. In fact, I've even heard of, and didn't know them personally, but I have heard of those who stood firm in God's plan for man and woman to be married to one another until a son or a daughter turned the other direction and decided that homosexuality was the path that they wanted to take. And then this person's opinion changed. Well, one of the things I have to question is, were they ever really following God to begin with? Or were they just following what they thought was right? See, even when our opinion may be equal to God's Word in what it's teaching, it is not equal in authority. And if we are coming to worship services on Sunday morning because we think it's what we ought to do, because that's what we want to do, because that's what my mind has decided I should do, we're coming for the wrong reasons. We need to come because God has commanded us to assemble together. If we're remembering the sacrifice of our Savior because it's a good idea, we've missed the point. Are we walking by faith or are we walking by opinion? What's directing us in our life today? No matter who we are, we need to make sure that we're seeking to please God, not men, not even self. We need to make sure that we're doing only that which is authorized by the Scripture, that we are guided only by what the Bible says. A couple other things to consider in regards to this. If we are walking after the designs of man, if we are following opinion, that means we're not following Christ. And if we're not following Christ, we're following Satan. The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. Satan is the God of this world. If we're not serving God, if you're not with me, you're scattering abroad. If we're not serving Christ, we're serving Satan, and Satan is the God of this world. Yet Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. In fact, Paul told the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, He, God, has put all things in subjection under His Christ's feet. Only God is not subject to Christ. Christ is ruler over all. He is the supreme leader. And we need to put our devotion into following Him. We need to walk by faith, not following our opinion. We made allusion to this image just a moment ago when we talked about the shifting opinions of mankind. You remember that parable Jesus gave at the end of Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27? If you don't, ask one of the little kids about the wise man and the foolish man. Or go back and read that parable for yourself. You remember? It talks about the wise man being the one who listens and hears and applies the Word of God in his life. The one that James talks about as being one who looks into the perfect law and takes it into himself and remembers and does the Word of the Lord rather than just hearing. He's the wise man. He's built on a solid, firm foundation, the solid rock of Jesus. Or as we sing in some of our songs, Rock of Ages. A shelter in time of storm. The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide. A solid foundation that will stand firm and withhold through anything. But the opinions of man are like the guy that builds his house on the sand. Our opinions, our thoughts, our ideas, what we think is best changes over time. I don't care who you are or how adamant you are about certain things, I can just about guarantee you that your mind has changed about some things since you were 12 years old. Guaranteed. My opinion of mustard greens when I was about 5 or 6 was they were the worst thing you could possibly put in your mouth. But that changed over the years, and I began to realize how wonderful mustard greens really were. Especially if they got just the right seasoning and such in them. I've used my sister as an example before. She thought apple pie was the worst thing you could ever eat until she tasted one, and then her opinion changed. Our ideas about what looks good in a vehicle changes over time. Our ideas about what's practical for us to wear changes over time. What's comfortable today is not what was comfortable to us 20, 30 years ago, maybe. We even change our opinions toward the people that we're associated with. Sometimes for the good, sometimes for the bad, but we change. That's what it's talking about. When we build our foundation, when we make our pathway based upon the opinions of mankind, whether they're our own opinions or somebody else's, we're building on shifting sands that will not stand. I remember correctly, some of this construction that happened out here on Interstate 30 in the last couple of years is because the dirt was washing out from underneath the road. Because the foundation wasn't solid. Many roads have had to be rebuilt because they didn't put the right foundation to start. It shifted and changed over time. That's the message of that story. The shifting sands of the opinions of men will bring about destruction. While the firm, solid rock of authority that we have defined in the Word of God will always stand, no matter what we come up against. It is always going to be there to hold us. Another illustration that Jesus uses in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, the broad and the narrow way. We've talked about this in the past. But I want you to consider, when you talk about the broad way, you're talking about a way with many lanes. And isn't that what the opinions of mankind are? There's many different ways. In fact, there are some people that will tell you there are many different paths to heaven. We're all going to the same place, just following different roads, they sometimes say, or different paths. Broad and wide is the way that leads to destruction. All kinds of opinions on how to get there. But narrow and restricted is the way that leads to eternal life. One way, the way of Christ. Not the opinions of men. We need to be careful that our life is guided by the firm, steady, straight, narrow, restricted way. Is it going to be easy? No, it's not. You ever traveled some of those single lane, two lane roads up through the mountains to get somewhere? Well, they're not easy. It's not like getting on the interstate and just taking off and going. In fact, I guess if you wanted a halfway decent illustration of that, go to Hot Springs and then turn around and come back by way of Butterfield and Magna Cove. You'll get a little bit of an illustration of the difference between a broad, wide way and a narrow, restricted way. It's not easy. And I know it doesn't. That illustration falls apart because it doesn't lead. It all leads to the same place. But the thing is, we can always find an opinion that will tell us which way to go and what to do. But it's going to lead us to destruction. Let's go back to the Word of God. Let's follow Christ. Let's make sure that the way we choose is the way of God. That's what the psalmist talks about. Blessed is the man who walks by the Word of God. Who does not listen to the counsel, who doesn't listen to the opinions of men. doesn't stand around talking to those that are guiding themselves. But he goes to the law of the Lord and determines what God would have him to do. He will stand. He will grow. He will increase. He will produce fruit. The wicked, the one who follows the opinions of men, will be blown around like the chaff in the wind. I never had to sort the chaff out from the grain. But I've been around barns enough to see the little bitty bits of hay flying around all over the place and the heavier bits settling down to get the idea of what's being talked about. The acorns fall straight to the ground while the leaves blow everywhere, generally. The person that follows the way of the wicked, that follows the opinions and directions of man, is going to be carried every which way and going to end up in destruction. Where the person that puts his hope in the will of God, in the Word of God, and guides himself solely by that, will make his way to eternity with God. Ultimately, the question is, will I die in my sin by guiding myself? Or will I die in the Lord by submitting to His Word? Jesus spoke to some of those who were listening to Him in John chapter 8 and verse 21. He said to them, I go away and you will seek me and will die in your sin. Because they would seek but would not find. Because they were looking in the wrong place. They weren't listening to His Word. We find elsewhere there were some who looked at His Word, rejected His Word, and they would find later that Word is what would judge them in the last day. But then we read in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors and their deeds follow with them. The question each of us needs to ask ourselves today, am I following my ideas or the opinions of men, or am I following Christ? If we want to die in the Lord, if we want to be able to be with the Lord at home in the end of time, as the Apostle Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, be absent from this body but at home with the Lord, we have to be living the Lord's will today. Then we can be caught up alive and remain together with the Lord for all eternity. Always be with the Lord. But the ones whose names are not found written in the book of life, those who follow the pathway of opinion, the pathway of men that leads to wickedness, will be cast into the lake of fire. And it's not a lake that just burns for a little while and then quits, but it is an eternal punishment, is the description given there. And we constantly need to be guarding ourselves to ensure that we're not walking the path where we need to do that. The opinions and ideas of men, while they might sound good sometimes in our everyday practices, will lead us to destruction. Only the way that is lined out for us in the will of God, with an assured method to reach heaven, it's the only path. Which one do we want? Yes, sometime in the future, each one of us, if we're alive and said, I am a sinner and I need to come to the Lord, and we accepted the salvation was offered to us by Christ. We were buried in baptism to receive the remission of our sins. We confess our belief in Jesus as the Son of God and the salvation that is found in Him. We turned away from following our own ideas and the teachings of men. Give ourselves wholly over to following God. And in doing so, we had our sins washed away. We rose up out of that watery grave of baptism, a new creature, a child of God. But are we still walking that pathway of assurance, the rock solid way that follows the narrow, restricted path of God? And we allowed ourselves to follow after our own ideas, the teachings of men. It seems simple and easy. But lead us away from God.
because they go beyond this issue. They don't reach up to this issue. Look this morning and find that you're still following the path of the Lord. You find that somewhere you stray to, if you come back to God's path. It is the only certain way to get you to heaven. If we can assist when I come, let your desire be known, Lord, send and send.